Hi, good morning to you. Happy Mother's Day. Well, you can say it back. Happy Mother's Day. We fathers have a little part in that, I guess, sometimes. You know, I always sent my mother a Mother's Day and a Father's Day card on both holidays. Because I was raised by a single parent, I would always do that. Send her a Mother's Day card and a Father's Day card on both of those holidays. You know, in honor of Mother's Day, I found some pretty remarkable quotes by some folks I thought you might enjoy as we get started today. Phyllis Diller, do you remember her? She actually said, quote, "I want my children to have all the things that I couldn't afford when I was young. That way I can move in with them when I'm old." Yeah, maybe that's not a bad idea. Roseanne Barr said, remember her? Theologian Roseanne Barr, right? She said, "The way I feel, if the kids are still alive when my husband gets home, I've done a good job." So I'm sure you mothers can identify with that. Here's one of my favorite ones, and it was anonymous, but said, "No matter how old a mother is, she watches her middle-aged children looking for signs of improvement." Right? Any mothers still doing that after all these years? Yeah. I like this one too. "While it may be physically possible to have a baby after 40, 40 children are probably enough, ladies." And on we could go, but we got a long way to go. So let me jump right in. I'm so excited. Maybe this is your first time here in a while. Last week, we started a brand new series of messages entitled Join the City. We are joining with 11 congregations here in and around Altoona. And as pastors, we're studying together every Tuesday, and we're kind of planning out these sermons together. Last week, joy in the city, Acts 8:8, there was joy in the city. Last week, we talked about unity. Today, we're going to talk about prayer. I think it's kind of neat that prayer landed on Mother's Day. In a lot of ways, I think that seems to be very, very appropriate. Well, let's talk for a minute here about prayer. You know, prayer is really the foundation of every Christian's life. You know, I read once a simple definition of prayer is prayer is simple, honest communication with God. You know, prayer is just simply talking to your Heavenly Father just like you and I are talking right now. Matter of fact, people that say, you know, "Oh, I can't pray," or "It's hard for me to pray," or "I've never prayed." You know what? We just need to honestly talk to God and share with Him our feelings. That's what prayer is all about. Remember last week we looked at John chapter 17 that teaches us that Jesus prayed for us. In John 17, He prayed for the disciples that they would be one as He and the Father are one. And He said, "I not only pray for them, but I pray for all those who will ever believe in Me through their message." That's me and you. So Jesus Christ even prayed for us. And then here's the thing that's so amazing about prayer. Because when you look at our text today over in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Now maybe you memorize this verse in an older translation. This is the verse that says that we should pray without ceasing. Be thankful in all circumstances. Never stop praying. Always be joyful. There's joy. Joy in the city. Always be joyful. Last week we talked about how unity brings joy. And today I want to talk to you about how prayer can be a source of joy in a Christian's life. So what does it look like for us to say that we're going to always be in an attitude of prayer? So let me just share with you nine things about prayer. Now let's all do this together. Everybody look at your watch. Oh my goodness, he's going to talk about nine things. Yes, I am. Here we go. Ready, set, go. You do know that there's over 365 prayers listed in the Bible? 365 prayers. There's approximately 450 answered prayers in the Bible. Now you might wonder why is that number different? Well, a lot of times we pray with the wrong motives, for the wrong things, at the wrong time. But yet the Bible is full of instances where God listens and answers the prayers of His people. Do you know the first time that prayer is mentioned in the Bible is all the way back in Genesis? Genesis chapter 4. Now, there's earlier dialogues that were initiated by God with His creation, but Genesis 4 is the very first prayer that's prayed to God. You jump over to the New Testament, there's 25 different prayers of Jesus recorded in the New Testament. And I found that very interesting because the other week when I was studying this, I'm thinking, okay, how many times did Jesus pray? And I thought about John 17 and some others, you know, the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I really would have thought, I would have said like, oh, probably 7 or 8 times. 25 times in the New Testament, Jesus is praying. Here's something else. In the Bible, Paul mentions prayers, prayer requests, prayer reports, exhortations to pray. He talks about it 41 different times. And you think about this. You know, I was always taught that when you pray that you bow your heads, you know, you might even take a stance like this. But yet the Bible talks about several different postures of prayer. Sitting, standing, kneeling, like Daniel did in the Old Testament, with one's face to the ground, with one's hands lifted up, eyes open, eyes closed. It's not so much the posture that we take in prayer, it's that we pray. You ever done this? I found myself doing this just a couple weeks ago when I was together with our pastor's group on Sunday morning. We were there praying, and I had my head down, you know, and I was in an attitude of prayer, and I heard somebody start to pray, and I didn't recognize their voice. And so I peeked. Do you ever peek? You know, I peeked. I opened my eyes. I wanted to see who was praying. And it happened to be somebody that was right over across from me. And when I opened my eyes, I realized that they were praying with their head up and their eyes open. And when I made eye contact with them, they just kind of gestured and did a little emphasis in their prayer toward me. And it was like, it scared me, you know. And I went right back down. And it's not so much the posture, it's the attitude of prayer. Think about this. The Bible lists at least 9 types of prayer. Prayers of faith, prayer of agreement, corporate prayers, prayers of request, prayers of petition, prayers of supplication, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of worship, prayers of consecration and dedication, prayers of intercession, and prayers praying in the Spirit. It is so important that we learn to have these simple conversations with God. Not to just reach out to Him when things are falling apart, but to invite Him, God, come and be a part of my day. Be a part of everything that I do and everything that I say today. And then this, have you ever wondered why we say amen? Amen is recorded in the Bible, first of all, in Numbers chapter 5 in verse 22. Amen means let it be, so be it, verily, verily. In Numbers chapter 5, in that passage, God commands it to be said by a person who is yielding to His examination. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God, I'm yielding my life, my prayers to Your examination. Now, believe it or not, that was 8 things. Here's the 9th. I want to spend just a minute on this. Who's your model for prayer? I mean, when you're encouraged to pray, when you think about praying, who taught you to pray? Who did you watch pray? Who did you experience praying in such a way that it made a difference in your life? I heard a comedian say one time, he said, listen, if your grandmother's praying for you to accept Jesus, just give up now and give your heart to Jesus because you're going to anyway someday. Because she's never going to stop. Have you ever had anybody like that in your life that was a prayer warrior? And would encourage you to simply talk to your Heavenly Father in that way. Well, I want to offer up to you today Jesus as our model. And just spend a minute in Luke chapter 11 in verse 2 through 4. This is Jesus' model prayer. Jesus said this is how you should pray. Now, notice here that Jesus did not say this is what you should pray. He said, this is how you should pray. I had a sweet gentleman one time come up to me here at First Church, and he said, Pastor John, I don't think I can continue coming to First Church. And I'm like, what in the world for? What's wrong? And he said, we never recite the Lord's Prayer together as a family. You know, I try to tell him, you know, I think it's a beautiful prayer. We do it like at funerals sometimes and things, but no, we don't do it as a congregation. But I tried to remind him that this prayer, Jesus said, this is how you should pray, not what you should pray. It should be the attitude that you use. So here, let me give you Jesus' model and Jesus' attitude for our prayers this morning. If you look at this passage of Scripture, Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Look at that first phrase there. He says, may your name be kept holy. You see, he says, pray with this attitude. Pray that God's name will be kept holy. In other words, focus on God's eternal glory when you pray. Second, he says, may your kingdom come soon. As you pray for God's glory, invite His kingdom to come here, to bring up there, down here, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice this, the focus first of all is on His everlasting glory. The focus here is on His eternal will. And then third, notice He says, give us each day the food we need. Now, notice here that this is the first part of the model prayer where the person is encouraged to ask for anything that they need. Too many times that's all our prayers are, what we need, what we want. I encountered a guy at Sheetz one day, and he was buying a lottery ticket. And I just commented and said, hey, good luck on that. And he said, boy, I pray that I win. Really? Okay, maybe I need to buy a lottery ticket and pray that way too. You know? Give us each this day. What do we pray? We don't pray for what we want. We pray for what we need. Give us this day the food that we need for today. Think about that. The focus there is on the present. Focus is on God's glory. Focus on God's will. Focus on the present. The next phrase, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's focus on the past. You know, you can't forgive anything that's in the future. We can only forgive those things that are already in our past. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Notice here the order that we forgive. We ask God to forgive us our sins and then seek to forgive others of their sins. In other words, we don't first go to everybody else. And that's what we do a lot of times. You know, God, we think that person owes us an apology, or that person owes us something, or, you know, we need to forgive that person of their sin. We need to start with our own sin and then deal with others. But that's always in the past. And then look at this last phrase, and yield us not to temptation. The focus there is the future. Isn't this a beautiful thing? He says, when you pray, pray like this. Pray for God's glory, His holiness. Pray for God's kingdom to come down here as it is up there. Pray that God will give you the things that you need today. Pray that God will forgive us of our sins and allow us to forgive others. And pray that God will deliver us from temptation. He deals with every aspect of a person's life in this beautiful, beautiful prayer. So what do? Well, folks, we pray. So as we close, I got a really important question for you. Do you pray? I think it's amazing how many people, if they were really, really honest, they would say, you know what? No, I really don't pray very much. And when I do pray, it's when I get in a bind, when I get in a pickle, when I don't know where else to turn. That's not prayer. Real prayer starts with simple conversations with a Heavenly Father that you know is there. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for being my Lord and Savior. God, I want to keep your name holy. I want your kingdom to come. God, give me the things I need for today, just today. Help me not to worry about tomorrow or have guilt about yesterday. Help me, Lord, to forgive, to ask you to forgive me and to offer that forgiveness to others. And, oh, Lord, keep me from the temptations around me that would take me far from you. Just a simple, do you pray? And if you do, I'm telling you, it will change your life. It's amazing, our prayer time that we get together with these preachers, how much of the time we're just thanking God for things that He seems to be doing because we're praying. You know, and there's a little part of me that's just like kind of guilty about that. I mean, you know, these are all pastors, well-respected people that I love and care about very much in this community, and wonderful colleagues. And you know what? If we're just now learning that, but it is an amazing thing to finally realize in life. So are you praying? And if you're not, start praying. Just start talking to God. You know, even just put an empty chair there in front of you and pretend that God is sitting there in front of you and just talk to Him. Just talk to Him. So if you're not, start praying. If you are praying and are only praying about things that are, you know, falling apart or when things really get bad or when you get bad news from the doctor, don't just pray then, but pray without ceasing at all times, as encouraged by this passage. And thirdly, if you are praying, and there's a lot of folks in First Church that are prayer warriors, and I just want to thank you, because it's because of your prayers that God is doing so much in you and through us. So keep praying to the Father above. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this blessed holiday and for all mothers that are joined with us here today. And Father, I pray, for those that have given birth this year. We've celebrated with some new little ones here this morning. These new children, Father, we celebrate with them. There's others, Lord, here that have lost a child this year. And Father, we mourn with them. And to those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains upon their clothing, we appreciate them. And to those who have experienced loss through miscarriage and failed adoption, Lord, even from runaways, we mourn with them. God, for those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught, Lord, with pokes with needles and prods and tears and disappointment, Father, we walk with them and pray for your strength to be theirs. Forgive us, Lord, when we say foolish things, when we don't mean to make this harder than it is. And Father, to those who are foster moms and dads and mentors and spiritual moms, we declare, Lord, that we need them. And to those who have warm and close relationships with their children, Lord, and I know there are many, we celebrate with them. We experience their joy. And to those who have disappointment and heartache and distance in the relationship with their children, God, we want to sit with them and encourage them during this difficult time. To those who've lost their mothers, Lord, this year, we grieve with them. To those, Lord, that are here, that their mothers have been gone many years, but yet there's still a void, we pray, Lord, that you would fill that void. Father, to those who've experienced abuse at the hands of their mother, we acknowledge their experience and we pray for their healing. to those who live through driving tests and medical tests and the overall testing of motherhood, we're better for having you in our midst. To those, Lord, who are single and long to be married and mothering their own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way that they've desired, and the way they've longed for it to be. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide them. To those, Lord, who step-parent, and there's a lot of those, we walk with you during these complex paths. To those who have envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet the dream has not taken place, Lord, we lift them up to you. To those that have empty nest and their kids are going away to college or graduating college, Lord, and moving on, we rejoice with them, but yet we understand, Lord, their grief during that time. Lord, to those who have placed children up for adoption, we command you for your selflessness. And we remember how you hold that child in your heart, even though they're no longer in your presence. To those who are pregnant, Lord, and we know we have many here who are expecting, we anticipate with them. And Lord, we pray that your strength would be theirs. Father, this Mother's Day, may we walk with you as we walk with all of these, Lord, along this path of life. In Jesus' name we pray.